we're gonna have a few minutes looking at one thing from Palm Sunday, and then we're gonna have a little chat in groups about it. So it's about expectations. That's what we're looking at today. So we saw beautifully acted out earlier by Oscar-winning performances, especially with Moses and Nick, that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey about 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate it now. And there were these slightly strange words, which you never really hear, apart from in slightly odd churches. Those who went ahead, so they, when they brought the colt to Jesus and spread their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna." Can you just say to the person next to you, "What on earth does that mean?" Blessed or favoured or happy, it's a bit easier to understand, is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And favoured, blessed or happy is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna, say to the person next to you, what does that mean? In the highest, Jesus entered Jerusalem. So Hosanna, actually, contrary to public opinion, isn't some obscure niche term by slightly strange Christians. It actually was a term in Jewish culture and mindset developed through the Psalms and way before, of a political cry for freedom. So the word Yasha is the root word of Yeshua, from which the Greeks translated Jesus, the anointed one. We also get Isaiah, Hosea, Joshua. Can you hear that root? Yeshua, Yasha term, that means salvation, deliverance. And that wasn't, save me from my mother-in-law, although, potentially that could come into play in Living Free. Do come next term. It was save us from the political, in this point, tyranny of Rome. So they had this golden era about 1,000 years earlier under David. Remember, he's the person they're referencing here, where they had David, then his son Solomon, was about 80 years of golden rule, where they were the nation that people went to for wisdom and understanding. We all still talk about the wisdom of Solomon, and the Queen of Sheba famously makes a massive trip there, and people would kneel and ask and hunger to know, who was this Yahweh that you're representing so well? And that was 1,000 years ago, but they followed the cycle of the human condition, which we follow. We worship Yahweh, that's what we do, the Lord, the God who is in everything, created everything, sustains everything. Then he blesses us because that's a restorative governance, and when we're under him, everything works. So then we get complacent and worship the things he gives us. They become idols, we become desperate and enslaved to them, and we cry out to him for deliverance. So that cycle carries on in the story of both the build-up to the establishment of the kingdom and David, and also tragically in the kings that followed, right down to an exile in one major dominant empire you might have heard of called Babylon, then under exile in Persia, and then under the Greeks. They were still not free in the land of Israel. Then for 100 years under the Maccabeans, they got freedom and they established this nation on their own just around Jerusalem and Judea. And then the Romans came, 63 BC, and they were under tyranny again. And Jesus, Yeshua, this man comes along, and he's like a prophet. He's doing incredible things. He has incredible wisdom. He interprets the Torah like they've never heard. That's the first five books of the Bible. And he is just phenomenal. But his words are backed up with power. People are having extraordinary physical healings. There's provision. There's calming of storms. And thousands are trampling on him to try and get to him and go, who is this man? What is he bringing? And then there's this moment around Passover, which is a deliverance festival. It will remember from the Jewish mindset, still today it is a deliverance festival from tyranny under the domination of Egypt. They come through and this man comes into Jerusalem and they are like, Yeshua, save us, deliver us. And so Hosea, sorry, the first bit is the root word Hosanna, save us. And Anna is, I beg you, I beseech you, I cry out to you, deliver us. So they are crying out for this Messiah, Mashiach, this anointed one, to come up and basically be the king that they've been longing for and bring their independence and autonomy back to the nation of Israel. Does that make sense? Does Jesus do that within the next week? What sort of happens? Almost looks like the opposite, doesn't it? If you had eyes to see, perhaps you were thinking there would be something bigger going on, but in the human, it looked the very opposite. A failed martyr for the cause, and yet another one crucified by the tyrannical Romans, and wow, a few hundred people have seen him alive who loved him. Of those that had seen him alive, they were so utterly convinced of his physical resurrection, they actually turned the world upside down. But before they received an immersion of spirit, they still thought he was going to be their military Messiah, their political freedom fighter. They said in Acts 1, before the Spirit comes at Pentecost, so he died and rose again, and about 40 days later, he appears through that period for 500 people speaking more about this kingdom of God. So he's still using the language of politics and domain and governance. And then he says, wait for my Spirit to come. 10 days my Spirit will come. And they're waiting, and they hear him, and they say, will you then restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you hear that? They're still, even after his death and resurrection, still thinking, this is what he's going to do, and this is what it looks like, our autonomy and independence. And he said, it's not for my Father to say those things, but wait for me, and you will receive power from on high. And 10 days later, they're celebrating the first fruits of the harvest, Shavuot. Jews from the diaspora across the whole Greco-Roman Empire have come to celebrate. Thousands and thousands of devout men and women, Jews and God-fearers and converts to Judaism come. And the Spirit comes. And immersion happens. And the world has never been the same since. But until that immersion, until that baptism, until the filling of the Holy Spirit, they still thought what they needed was political freedom from the tyranny of Rome. They didn't realize their deeper need was a spiritual, internal freedom from the tyranny of the toxicity of the human condition that's disconnected from God. Does that make sense? Yes, that manifests in unjust political powers. Of course that matters. But the deepest need all humans have is for reconnectedness with God, because that's the primary problem. At the fall, we were broken from connectedness. And our deepest need is reconnectedness. And when did that happen? When did the reconnectedness happen? 50 days after Jesus died and rose again. At Pentecost, that's the moment of reconnection. And from then on, they're not talking about the restoration of Israel, because they're restored. They are restored in a deep way. Yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom, he contends for freedom at every level. He contends for real freedom. There is nowhere so free as being in the kingdom of God. It's just an incredibly expansive place. But the first place it happens is in the governance of our hearts. Our hearts have to come under the kingdom. So this is what I'm talking about, is expectation. They expected one thing. He delivered another, but what he delivered was the real need that they didn't realize they really needed. So for me, every day in my life, I want to eat food. It's like my big thing. Sounds basic, because, you know, some of us do. But it is, I know that I only need 3 meals a day. And that is incredibly generous. It's actually incredibly generous how much God gives human bodies to eat each day to be really well and healthy and fit. But I always want to eat more all the time. But that want, if I actually unpack it, is not based on a true need. The need I have is for deep interconnectedness with God at my spirit level. So I have my material needs, and they're met in 3 meals a day. And then Jesus says, just we're celebrating now, we're marking Lent. He says, humans cannot live on bread alone, i.e. just the material needs being met. But every prophetic liberating word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, that is their daily bread. So we need spirit needs, and we have material needs. Does that make sense? Now, if I always don't acknowledge my unmet spiritual needs, my wants will be distorted. Does that make sense? So I go to a material thing, and that will never meet the real need, which is for spirit reconnectedness with God. So for me, that is my daily battle, is making sure that the real need I have for deep, profound, continual, perpetual intimacy with God is met by the prophetic words, by listening to him, by being with him, by listening to people who he speaks through to me all the time, just meeting that hunger there, and then I will meet my material needs appropriately. Does that make sense? Now, there are loads of things he gives us in this world that he didn't need to give us at all. For example, music. The continual progress of the human civilization doesn't necessarily need music, does it? It's just great that he gave us music, isn't it? Doesn't that make the whole world richer and better and stronger and more powerful? But actually, we don't technically need it at a material level. So there are loads of things he just loves to give us and loves for us to enjoy. So what I want to unpack around our tables are the wants that have been distorted out of unmet needs. And the wants, which are just part of being under the governance of a good God who loves to give us good stuff. Does that make sense? And try to do what the followers of Jesus needed to do, was reframe expectations about what truly brought life, what really brings life. And give one more example. Someone might want to have a very large house. Okay, that's one of the kind of goals that this culture sets in the pursuit of happiness. Now, it may be that that want is absolutely spot on, because that person has been called to maybe set up a rehab or community house or do extended family really well for people who don't have family, whatever, and they actually need a big house. But the other people, it might be their deepest need is just to know they're loved. But it's become distorted into, I want a big house because I'm insignificant and insecure and I just need to have a status symbol of a big house to make me feel better about myself. Does that make sense? And that's what I want us to unravel today. What are the wants every day that we have that are good and brilliant and part of his goodness and even in alignment with our needs because they're part of our design? Or there's a distortion on needs, and actually he wants to get rid of the sticking plaster once and for all and dig straight to the need and get and met that need met. And the promise we have, if we go there and have the courage to do that, as he says in 2 Peter, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. There is nothing we can unravel about our state which has not already been met in Christ's death and resurrection and the immersion of spirit. Does that make sense? We don't have to face our unmet needs and have which is what, of course, we do, self-medicate, because there is the true medication is already being delivered 100%. And it will free us not only from the distortion of our wants, but to be able to be fully alive. So in our groups now, let's just have a little chat. What are some of the wants we have in life? I want to do this. And start to unravel what are the bits that are in alignment with design and what are the bits that are actually a distortion on an unmet need. Does that make sense? Lord, we are just all about transaction here. We're all about getting free and getting whole. And so I pray that in our conversations, you just unravel the bits in us where we think we want something, but actually what we really need is something else, and you are wanting and willing and able to meet that need. And I pray for that need to be met this morning, that journey of healing to begin and continue this morning. Amen.